Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody, send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation. I'm in my garage. It's an exciting time at the Dork Forest. With me, a friend of the show, Aldrin, has found love, and it is with a very nice man who I have got to meet in person, and Andy has not, and there's been jealousy. It's the weirdest introduction ever, Carl. I am so sorry. Please welcome to the show, Carl Gabrielson, guy with a PhD. So let's go right to it. Hi, Carl.
Hi.
There we go. It's a podcast. It's loosey-goosey. We're just going to talk. It's the Dork Forest. You dork out about what you love. You love so many things that
I should shout out to my other friend of the pod connection, comedian Matt Kirshen, is my brother-in-law.
That's
right. He's been on.
He has introduced me to a very nice tea that I'm about to drink.
Oh,
it's
nice.
A Yorkshire blend, or it's called Yorkshire, because, of course, tea is not grown in the UK. Tea is merely colonized by the UK and then co-opted, and then now it's theirs. I get it. So you lived in Japan for a long time?
Yep, over 10 years.
Holy smokes. That is a long time. And you're, just so people know, we're not even going to talk about this dorkdom, but Carl is working on... He's doing this for money. If you were to want him to do this for you, this is something that he does. He builds commander decks for Magic the Gathering. And if you go to his Instagram account, EDH_PhD, the EDH standing for Elder Dragon Highlander, which is a deep dive into Magic the Gathering. So deep, I don't know it. And I like Magic the Gathering. And I have played Commander, but not in tournament. Not in tournament. So what do I know? But here's the thing. I like it. You know, my favorite Magic the Gathering thing right now is Idiot Magic the Gathering, what I call Idiot Magic the Gathering, where you buy two decks that are pre-made. You put them together. You play a game. You trade decks with whoever you bought those two decks with. You play again, and you go, why'd you get better decks than me? Anyway, some people are just better at it than me. Anyway, so Carl Gabrielson at EDH_PhD, it'll be in the notes. We're going to talk about Pokemon today because you enjoy a Pokemon.
Oh, so much.
Why? How? When did it begin? What does it mean? Is it the show? Is it the game?
At the risk of dating myself, I was a little too old when Pokemon hit America. And at the time I was in high school, I was working in after-school daycare, and every day the kids wanted to watch the show, but there weren't that many episodes out yet, so it kept repeating, and I found it super irritating, and I absolutely hated it.
Right.
And then about a year or two later, I was doing like summer daycare as a summer job while I was in college, and one of the little kids ran up to me with his little black and white Game Boy and pushed it in my hands and said, "My friend is calling. I need you to finish this battle for me." And I picked it up. And
this is how we should all learn the next generation's obsessions, quite honestly. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did, like, I fought, I like, you know, used a plant type attack to beat a water type, or grass type, I should say, let's be proper, a grass type attack to beat a water type Pokemon. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And immediately I was hooked. And for a long time I was playing the games. And then after college, I fell out of it for a bit, but I ended up with this cool job at an American college in Japan where I was teaching US-Japan relations. And I started teaching about how Pokemon really like opened the doors in America for other forms of Japanese anime, for it to stop being like a niche thing like Akira and Ghost in the Shell and become like really mainstream.
Right.
And talking about it all the time with my students made me want to play it again. And I got back into it really hard and playing the game. And then I started my PhD and started like doing a little like side research project on Pokemon. And it's just gotten completely out of control.
What is your PhD in?
My PhD is East Asian Languages and Cultural Studies from University of California, Santa Barbara.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And yeah. So you're dipped in all things East Asian, I bet.
Yeah.
We're going to go not just Pokemon and not just the games, but also is there Pokemon manga?
Oh, well, it comes from the cartoon. So it's more, the cartoon is more the focus.
Okay. But
yeah. And there's a ton of like fan produced manga, including the like sexy kind. And,
oh, there's sexy Pokemon manga?
Oh yeah. There's, you know, any anime property will have sexy manga. So there's definitely like Team Rocket members doing inappropriate things with Pokemon tentacles and what have you.
Well, why were tentacles invented?
Exactly.
To go into orifices. That's what I say. Take a stand, Jackie. But what I, okay, so you started with the games then.
Mm-hmm.
And you had seen some of the shows, but only a little from the get, for just like, because it replayed the same.
Yeah.
And of course, 5-year-olds don't care. It's actually what they're looking for.
Right.
And then there was, like Magic the Gathering, there is a game, like a card game, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a card game that's been around since the late 90s. There was a whole, like, moral panic in the late 90s where, like, there were, like, two news stories about kids, like, stabbing each other over Pokemon cards. And suddenly, like, every PTA in the country was up in arms, like, oh, we can't have these in our schools. And it became a thing for a hot second.
And then they realized that it was just a couple of psychopaths who would stab somebody over anything.
Truly.
So it wasn't the item. It was the stabbing that they were looking into.
Yeah, it turns out it might have been the parents who let their kids have access to knives.
Right, right. Why hand a kid a knife and go to school? Okay, so you're, because I had the gray brick, and I never played Pokemon, but I loved the Gray Brick. I used to play a lot of Final Fantasy Legend, as a matter of fact. Ooh. And then I also enjoyed a lot of fort building, like sort of like you would build for anyway. But I like those games. I don't even know where to. There's so many different kinds of properties. Just talk Pokemon at me. I don't know how to. Oh, yeah. I don't know how to direct you at this point.
Yeah, but well, there's the card game. There's Pokemon Go, which everyone knows. There's movies. There's like recently Netflix put out a thing called Pokemon Concierge, which is all stop motion with these cute little felt Pokemon. It's very sweet.
Pokemon Concierge.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah. It's the story of a human girl who goes to an island that's a resort for Pokemon, and her job is to help the Pokemon find their bliss at this resort.
What? Wait a minute. So is it live action or is it a mix?
No, it's all stop motion and everything is like felt. So it all looks kind of like fuzzy and cute.
Adorable. And is it a 30-minute TV show or is it a movie?
Like, it's like 20, 30 minutes, but the season, the whole season is like 6 episodes or something. It's not very long.
Right. And it's literally just felt characters doing the thing that they do. Like Pokemon, if I remember correctly, there's a child or a person, mm-hmm. and then there's an animal that you release from a ball.
Yes. So the idea is that these animals are all out in the wild as well.
Okay.
And so this resort, I guess the idea is that trainers bring their Pokemon there so the Pokemon can like relax and have a good time and, you know, take a vacation.
Well, it's in between time for the actual Pokemon.
Yeah. So there's Pokemon doing like, you know, water skiing and taking a painting course and, you know, all of the things you would do at a resort. And like she's assigned to a particular Pokemon who's like shy and not really connecting with the resort. And she has to like help that Pokemon find what it loves and have a good time.
Hobbies for Pokemon.
Absolutely. Okay.
But it started just as a fight, right?
Oh, yeah. It started. Yeah. So apparently the creator was inspired by his childhood where he and other children would go to the woods and catch beetles and make them fight each other, like big like stag beetle kind of things.
Wow, that is okay. That makes me uncomfortable for that young man.
Yeah, but well, okay. It's not like a violent thing. It's like whichever beetle flips the other beetle is the winner. So okay. None of the beetles are particularly hurt by it, as far as I know.
And if I remember correctly, I had elaborate plans as a child to start like a. We had a rocket club. We had a newspaper, a short-lived newspaper, and it was more planning and talking about it than actually probably capturing beetles and throwing them at each other. So though that was the idea.
Yeah. There's like a long cultural history of this beetle fighting. And so I guess this the creator of Pokemon wanted to find a way for like kids in the city high rises to do that. And so that's why like from the beginning, you could use the connector cable to battle with each other and you couldn't catch every Pokemon from one game. So you'd have to trade. And so the whole idea was to like create a reason for kids to interact based on his happy childhood memories.
Oh, well, that actually sounds adorable.
Yeah, too bad it turned out like cockfighting, but you know, whatever.
Right. I went straight to cockfighting, but then I was raised in the woods. Right. So what do I know? So, okay. So what year is this when he invents Pokemon?
It comes out, I want to say it's like 95 or 96. It's definitely mid 90s that it's
really?
Released.
And it goes international immediately.
Yeah, I think it took less than a year. Like it really revived the Game Boy. The Game Boy was kind of struggling and then it came out and I think in America it was the cartoon first and the cartoon was just such a mega hit that it brought everyone to the video game.
Okay.
And so like I said, like it used to be, I remember when I was working in this daycare place, Pokemon was on every morning before school, and I think every afternoon after school, and then once on Saturdays, and there were only 40 episodes.
Oh, wow.
So you were getting through more than the whole gamut of episodes every month. And like it's Japan, so they're producing a new one every week. So over time, as the dubbing happened and stuff, you'd catch up and it would expand. But like that's part of why I found it so annoying. I was like, oh, it's this episode that we've watched like twice this week already.
And with a lot of anime, and there was an anime episode a couple of episodes ago, but so is Pokemon considered anime?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a fun case because it is considered anime, but it was really the first anime to go mainstream and just be like a kid's cartoon. Because before that, like when I was a kid, anime was this very niche thing and you had to get like a VHS copy of a VHS copy of a VHS copy from your friend or go to the like midnight cult theater showing. And so I think Pokemon opened the door for all of these other anime to just become like mainstream cartoons in the US and for anime to become something different from a subculture.
Did it come out before Dragon Ball Z came to America or comparable?
I think so. In terms of like actually being on television, it definitely started sooner because Cartoon Network had this thing in the afternoons called Toonami, where they brought out Dragon Ball Z and Gundam Wing and Sailor Moon, etc. And I think that was all post Pokemon.
Yeah. Okay. And how about Miyazaki? Was that before or after, or just separate?
So the first Miyazaki film that came to America was hideously butchered and completely rewritten. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind was called, I think it was called The Wind Warriors, and they just completely recut it and made it a totally different thing.
That's my favorite one, but I've only seen it with the dubbed, like the subtitled version. That's the one I own. They released it dubbed and cut to pieces?
Yeah, and so after that, Miyazaki refused to release anything in America unless he got a guarantee that it would be unaltered. So there was a period where there was no Miyazaki, and then it would get like really limited release. Like it wasn't until I think Princess Mononoke in the early maybe 1999.
Okay.
He started getting critical acclaim, and then that started bringing him a little bit more mainstream in the US.
Okay.
He was doing stuff before, but I don't think it was really a presence in America before Pokemon.
Here's what I remember about Pokemon in the early 90s or mid 90s is that my brother didn't have cable and my niece was watching something. And I said, what is this Pokemon? She goes, we don't have cable. This is poor man's Pokemon. It's called Yu-Gi-Oh or Digimon. It was called Digimon. Mm. That was it. And so I don't know if you ever saw Digimon.
I am a little bit familiar. I have friends who swear by their Digimon. All I really know about it is that compared with Pokemon, when Digimon, they'll be like, I'm a little cute baby T-Rex. And then it'll evolve into some kind of like weird angel with a six pack or something. Like it's a very different vibe when they evolve.
Okay. So Pokemon's evolve. They grow up.
They do. And actually there was a moral panic about that too. There were all these like right-wing religious groups and televangelists who were like, Pokemon is teaching our children about evolution and black magic.
Oh, wait a minute. Together again. Finally, once again, evolution and black magic. I can't tell you how much Darwin would have hated that. So they grow up together, the kid and the monster and the.
Well, if you watch the cartoon, there's a little bit of like a character growth arc, but yeah, the monsters, it's all about like fighting makes them stronger and they hit certain levels and they evolve, or there's other evolutionary conditions depending on the particular Pokemon, but
do they evolve into different monsters? Do they look different when they evolve? Like do they change into different looking fighters?
Yeah. Most of the time you can see a progression like the classic Pokemon is Charmander, who's a cute little round-headed orange lizard, and then he becomes a little bit pointier and bigger, and then he becomes a big dragon with horns and wings, but he's still orange, and he always has like a little bit of fire on his tail. So it's usually identifiable across the evolutions.
Right. They keep his eyebrows or something. Okay.
Yeah.
So how does a fight go? Like it's all very consensual, obviously, because you have to have cables. Yeah. And then is it still, it's on Switch, I believe. I think I have read Pokemon on Switch that I've absolutely never played because I feared that I would get into it too much. And I'm already multitasking my head off. But have you ever played that one?
Oh, yeah. We're on the second like Switch exclusive generation. Now there've been like generations and generations of Pokemon. And so the most recent one is Scarlet and Violet are the two games.
Okay. Why the colors again? I feel like I've been told this before, but I forget.
I feel like I'd read something about what the colors mean and I've completely forgotten this time around.
But prior it's always to this, been it was, colors, right?
Well, actually, no, it was colors for the first four games, which all took place in Japan. And then there was a game in France that was X and Y. And then it went to Hawaii for Sun and Moon. And then it went to England for Sword and Shield. And now we're in Spain and we're back to Violet and Scarlet.
Okay. Pumpernickel and Don Quixote. So we don't know. But there's so much to it, right?
Yeah.
The first one you played was on the gray brick of Game Boy.
Yeah,
What were your favorite? Yeah.
I thought that was Red and Blue. This was the first generation. Or okay. Red and Green in Japan.
Oh, all right. And what were your favorite games as you went through?
So,
fandom progress, I guess, as I'm asking.
So I played the early games and then I took a break from it. And then when I was teaching it, my students were showing me, oh, this is what Pokemon's doing now. And I was like, well, I should be able to talk about this because I'm teaching it. And so I came back in with the generation that was Black and White. Oh, I skipped that one. That was the last color generation. And that was, okay. That takes place in New York. It's the first generation outside of Japan.
Oh, wow.
And I got really into that one. And in fact, the sequel, like I'm pretty weird in terms of Pokemon fans because my favorite games are Black and White 2, which I don't know a lot of people who care about them, but it was the first one where they had like a medal system where like you could do all these different things to win achievement medals. And I just got really hooked on that. And it was the first time I got really into breeding Pokemon so they could have special abilities and specific moves.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. How is their breeding? How do you do that?
So there's a couple of ways to do it. There's if you have a male and female of the species or of similar species, because there's egg groups where the weirdest one is that the kitten and the whale can have babies together because they're both mammals.
Okay.
But yeah, basically you need Pokemon from the same group. And if they have a baby together, it's always the mother's species, but it can learn moves from the father.
Okay.
And then there's the international marriage rule, which is if one of the Pokemon, you got it like via internet trade or something, and it's from a game from another country, then you have a better chance of the baby being shiny. So it'll have like the alternate color set.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then you can
rares?
Oh, yeah. You can also, there's the Pokemon Ditto, which is the shape-changing Pokemon, and it is also the kind of slut Pokemon. Like, Ditto can have a baby with any Pokemon, and it will always be that that species, except for the very few specific Pokemon who do not have babies.
There are Pokemon. Now, did they choose not to have babies, or are they just, they were bred to not reproduce? Is there some sort of flaw there? What's happening? Why don't they want?
They are so like mystically special and legendary that there can be only one. And so they can't have babies.
Okay. Which ones are those? Can you name any of them?
Any Pokemon that's on the cover of a box, usually after the first generation, those are all the legendary or mythic Pokemon.
Okay.
The famous ones are Mew and Mewtwo from the first set. But yeah, any of the ones that are called legendary, like
are just legendary. They're just,
yeah.
And are they still around? Can you still fight? If you get them, can you still fight them?
Oh yeah. And they people like me have been playing this game since the beginning and we want to use those Pokemon. So they I want to say in November or December, there was an event where you could get a free Mew and then you could use it to catch this really powerful Mewtwo in a special raid battle if you got together with your friends. So you can still get a hold of these rare unbreedable Pokemon because they release them in different ways for fans to get access.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, that's kind of cool. It's sort of like, because with Magic, some of the cards are discontinued and you just can't get them. And you have to like go to some weird secondary market, which I don't know. Is there a secondary market in electronic Pokemon? Probably.
Honestly, there are definitely, like, I've been in Reddit groups where people breed Pokemon and trade them, and I've never seen anyone doing it for money, but it's a big old world, and I bet somebody out there has paid for a Pokemon.
Right. It's a big old world. It's so true. I'm talking with Carl Gabrielson, by the way. You guys should know that he's got a Magic the Gathering Commander Deck Instagram that you're going to want to check out. EDH underscore PhD. EDH stands for Elder Dragon Highlander. So figure that out. Okay, so you mentioned that the Pokemon are grouped. Are they sort of like by species or race or religion or gender? What's happening with the grouping of Pokemon?
So they're like, there's the easy grouping is the type grouping, right? You have your psychic Pokemon and your poison Pokemon and your fire Pokemon. But okay. Then in terms of eggs, like some of those are weird. There's the field type, which is most of the mammals. There's the fish type, which is most of the fish. But then you have the like human shaped type, which is for human shaped Pokemon. And there's all these other weird groups, and some Pokemon belong to more than one egg group, so they can make eggs with Pokemon from other groups.
What is a human shaped? Is it human shaped, but also like fire tipped or got sort of water powers, or look like a person, but it also has interesting coloring to show you that it's a Pokemon?
Oh yeah. So the first one I thought of is called Jinx. And if you look at Jinx, Jinx looks like kind of a caricature of a drag queen. Okay. Although when Jinx was first released, it was heavily criticized for looking like blackface because it had a black face and huge lips and big eyes.
Okay.
And
you saw drag queen and they saw racism.
Yeah, well, I only saw it in the black and white video game to be first. I was like, oh, look at this drag queen Pokemon. But then in the anime, they revealed what it really looked like. And there was so much backlash from the States, actually, that even in Japan, they changed it. And now it has a purple face and it's not meant to look like blackface anymore. But it is human shaped. It is still drag queen shaped.
It is drag queen shaped. I like that you have an idea that there's a caricature of a drag queen. I'm almost certain that is a drag queen. There's not, I don't know that.
Yeah, okay, fair point.
I don't know a lot about drag queens, but the ones I've seen. I did see an amazing, I digress, I tend to weed off here, girl. Let me just tell you that I once saw a drag queen, the most amazing drag queen performance was someone who was dressed half as Cher and half as Marilyn Monroe and sang as both. And would just trade sides, sort of like that scene from Victor Victoria.
Wow, that's incredible.
I saw it in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and I either saw it or I dreamed it because it was amazing. I was very drunk at the time, but I remember it being the greatest thing I've ever seen in the world of drag queen. So
I found actually recently I started following an Instagram account for a drag club in London that does Pokemon themed drag. And it is incredible.
Why wouldn't there be?
It's called Slay Station, I believe is the name of it.
And oh my goodness.
Their big Pokemon event is called the Master Ball, because the Master Ball is the Pokeball that can catch any Pokemon.
Oh, is it?
Like it's the only ball with a 100% success rate for capturing.
That's amazing. How do you get that ball?
Usually it's like a prize you get for, you know, beating the like a boss type trainer or a major Pokemon at the end of the game. But there's usually special circumstances towards the end of the game where you're in the past, you would receive one and it would be a big deal because you'd be like, oh, what am I going to use it on?
Right.
And then now they'll release them together with like special event Pokemon. If you catch the special event Pokemon, it's holding one, or you get one as a reward or things like
okay.
that.
Okay. So get then
more now.
Now, when you get one of those, if it's empty and you put a Pokemon in it, or if it's got one in it, if you want to use it on a different Pokemon, you got to release the one you've got. Is that true?
Once a ball is used, it's used for good. You can release the Pokemon, but you don't get the ball back.
Oh, so it's a one-time use ball.
Yeah. So once you have a Master Ball, you have to really decide if you're going to use it or not.
First of all, the words Master Ball is the greatest name for an event with drag queens.
Oh my God.
And it's just the greatest crossover between essentially millennials and drag queenness, because it's of a certain age, right? I mean, you have to be 11 and then grow up to be a drag queen and then say, I want to call this the Master Ball.
Yeah.
And everyone your age is on board. And that, I think, is a delight. So good for them. Okay, my next question. So the groups were by, they were by colors. Wait, they so were by types. Groups.
Yeah. So the, like the main way that Pokemon powers are organized is by, there's, I want to say 13 types. I don't know. I'm getting confused between types of Pokemon and classes of D&D because one of those is 13 and the other one might not be.
But, okay.
Yeah, there's all these different types, fairy and fighting and water and steel and dark and normal, which is just like cute and fluffy.
And what is their power when they, do they cute and fluffy and their enemy to death? It's
yeah, normal one, they have nondescript moves like body slam that don't involve like, you know, shooting magic zaps or something.
Right. So there's zaps, there's fire, there's water. Can you,
oh, yeah,
can you splash?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's magic probably associated to all of the things, like magic and fire, magic and water.
Yeah. Well, so magic itself isn't like a group, but there's a tendency to make like there's Pokemon called Abra and Kadabra and Alakazam, and they are all psychic type. So magic, things that would be magic are usually classified into psychic or possibly fairy or ghost.
Okay. And psychic, are they literally psychic? Can they tell the, can they read the mind, or is it like a telekinesis, control kind of thing rather than a, you were put in a locker when you were 13. I mean, it's not that, right? It's a,
It's a little bit of that. Like they have like, you know, they can cause an attack to hit you in the future, for example, or they can predict what's coming towards them. They can, some of them can read the minds of other Pokemon so that if you have two Pokemon on your team and one of them does an attack that would hit everyone, the telepathic Pokemon can avoid that because they know it's coming.
Oh, right, right. Like Nightcrawler in Marvel Puzzle Quest. He just bamfs out and does not get hit when there's a team hit. He's like, gonna bamf. And so, okay. Now, here's my next question. Favorite Pokemon? We touched on it briefly.
I have probably...
So many.
I have so many, but I will give you two. Because they're easy to show. So one of them, I brought this little plushie. Aldrin gave me this. This is Trubbish.
How do you spell Trubbish?
Trubbish. Right. He is a bag of garbage.
Ooh, like rubbish.
Yeah. And I love him because leave it to Pokemon to make a bag of garbage cute. And it's funny because in the same generation, they made an ice cream cone, and the ice cream cone is hideous. It's just a real dumb Pokemon. But the bag of garbage is super cute.
All right.
And then
tentacles?
He evolves. They're kind of little arms of trash that stick out.
So it's just a gray bag of trash at this point.
Yeah.
With some garbage sticking out of the holes of the bag.
Yep.
People go to the YouTube if you want to see it. We're at minute like 35. Okay. Go ahead.
So Trubbish evolves into what kind of looks like a cross between Mickey Mouse and the deadly sin of gluttony is kind of how I see it. It's this weird, like obese trash monster with moves like belch that is just spilling trash everywhere, but has these weird Mickey Mouse ears and kind of these like cybernetic garbage hands, which is, it's absolutely hideous.
That's
how they
fight?
I love that it comes from, so that's like when this guy hits a certain level, he becomes that.
Right, right.
So he starts out as just this cute little trash bag, and then there's just too much trash in him, and he explodes into monstrous garbage Mickey Mouse.
Is that his final form?
Yes.
All right. Is there an interim form that where he's just riding a truck? Is there anything? He's
not
decided
for this one.
The Harkonnen solution where he just kind of zips around on a.
That sounds adorable, and I only wish. But there's so some Pokemon don't evolve. The vast majority of the ones that evolve once, and then a handful of them evolve twice. So the middle form is a minority among evolving Pokemon.
Okay, wait, you just said something. The simple form only evolves once?
Oh, so the most common of evolving Pokemon, the most common Pokemon only evolve once. They have like a basic form and a final form.
Okay.
And then like,
there's fancy ones that do more.
Yeah. That have like an intermediate step.
Oh, fancy. And then what's your other, have you named Trubbish or do you just call him Trubbish?
I mean, in games, he usually gets names depending on if it's male or female. I usually give them a you know, garbage themed name.
Wings? What I mean, like, I don't know what.
Yeah,
what's a garbage themed name?
That's a great question. Oscar would be a good one.
Oh, right. Yeah, like Oscar the Grouch, because he's in a trash can.
Yeah.
And all right. It's,
so that's one. The other, I will show you. I just got this tattoo about a month ago of Magikarp.
With a crown.
Yes.
Magikarp?
Magikarp.
Awesome. It is an orange fish with gold up and down. The top looks like a crown.
Yes.
But it's actually yeah.
So in Japanese, he's called Koi King. Koi Kingu. So he's literally the king of koi.
He sure looks
and
it.
That's why he has a crown as well as his top fin.
Yes. That is outstanding.
So there's this old Chinese and Japanese like mythical tradition that if a koi or if a carp can swim to the top of a waterfall, it becomes a dragon. And so this Pokemon is based on that idea that he starts out as the silliest, most useless fish. He's almost impossible to use in a fight. Most of his moveset involves splashing, which actually does nothing.
right. You just, what if you get some water in your eye though? What about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't even splash that well.
Okay. So, he just doesn't even.
Yeah. What? And we're starting from, I think, the game in France. You'd throw him out to battle, and other fish, you throw them out and they're like swimming in the air and ready to fight. But you throw this one out and it's just on its side, flopping on the ground pathetically. I love it. So he eventually he evolves into this all powerful, mighty dragon creature called Gyarados, who's just huge and intimidating and
well, how do you get him to powerful. That? You just have to keep losing fights until he evolves?
So you there's the easy way, which is you feed him little candies that level him up, but that's expensive. Or there's the other way, which is where you start a fight with him and it ready to fight, and then immediately switch him out for another Pokemon.
Okay.
So then whatever first attack is coming is going to hit your other Pokemon, and it's not going to be happy about it. But at least Magikarp was in the fight and gets to participate, and so he gets the experience points.
Oh right, gets the XP now.
Yeah.
You said it's expensive to feed tiny candies. Mm-hmm. First of all, is that in-game purchasing? Is that what's happening? Are you not
real money? It's
not
like
real
you
money,
can so. You can get them from battles. You can buy them from shops. They're called rare candy, and they are actually rare. But there's candy out there that will level up your Pokemon for you without having to use them in battle.
Okay, and how long does it take to get yourself a King Koi?
I think he evolves at level 20, I want to say, which is pretty high for something that doesn't fight much. I think by that point he learns one move that can actually do damage, and it's still pretty pathetic.
if he dies in a fight, is he gone? Do you have to go get another one?
No. He recovers. Yeah. The world of Pokemon has universal socialized healthcare.
Fair enough.
Every town and many places just along the road, there's a Pokemon Center, which is a little building with a red roof where you go in and a nurse takes your Pokemon and puts them in a machine and it goes doot, 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 doot. And then they're all perfectly recovered. And then you can go back and fight again.
Awesome.
There's a style of play called Nuzlocke, which is that when a Pokemon dies, it's dead. You have to release it. You can never use it again. And you're only allowed to catch the first Pokemon you see in each region. So people have called it Pokemon hard mode. and I tried it once and got really attached to my Pokemon and then it died. And I was like, this is a terrible way to play. And I stopped.
Right, because you want to have your friends. You're in a make-believe world. You don't want them to die.
Exactly.
And but I get that there's some hard-ass Pokemon players out there. I don't know if I want to hang. I don't know if we're going to be the ones.
Well, there's a whole like international Pokemon tournament circuit, and there's a whole like there's websites dedicated to the like Pokemon battle metagame where people are talking about like, oh, which move sets on which Pokemon with which stats are going to be the most powerful in the coming competitive season and things like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like a separate life.
Yes,
that's a sort of tournament life.
I have peeked into it. I have never dipped a toe in, but I will say that every year I love watching the final battles of the international tournament because there's three tiers. There's junior, senior, and master. And junior means it's like under 10 and senior is like under 14 or something. And then master is all the adults.
Okay.
And I love watching these like little like 8-year-old kids with these really serious Pokemon battles, and they'll like bring like their favorite stuffed Pokemon on stage with them, and they'll use like really interesting things because you get to the adults and they're all playing exactly the same Pokemon because they've been following these websites and what have you,
right?
The kids, and then like they'll be you'll watch the moment where they like realize they're about to lose and they'll start crying and it gets really dramatic. And
yeah,
it's very, I mean, maybe I just like watching children cry, but it's very fun for me.
You did do a lot of childcare from, it sounds like, when you were in your undergrad.
I did.
Anyway. So watching children cry may not affect you the same way it does other people. I did a lot of childcare and I saw a lot of kids cry and I'm like, not real. You're genuinely sad. I am so sorry. You sound like you're actually in pain. Okay. So that's what I could tell. That was my spectrum when I did childcare. That is amazing. Okay. Second favorite Pokemon.
Okay. Oh, well, so I was going to finish the story of my tattoo of
yes,
Magikarp.
Please.
So I got this tattoo because probably about a year ago, I was thinking about quitting my PhD. I just finished last month. And about a year ago, I was thinking about quitting.
Yeah,
because it was hard and terrible, and I was not having a very good time. And someone sent me this meme that had a picture of this fish, Magikarp, evolving to the big dragon Gyarados. And it said, what I expected it would be like after my PhD. And below it, it said what it was really like. And it just showed this fish and then this fish again with like a mortarboard and a degree. And I was like, that I could be a silly fish with a degree. That could be me.
That
I don't
could be
have
just
to
fine.
Become this all-powerful dragon thing. I can just be a silly fish with a degree and be finished. And somehow that felt really good. And so I decided that that was my aphorism, my mantra for getting through.
Lower the wall. Lower
exactly.
the wall. You're going to get over it. It's going to be fine.
Yes.
The future's going to be slightly different than today.
Yes.
But it's going to be mostly like today.
Yes.
Because tomorrow isn't going to be that different.
Right.
It'll be slightly different, but not. Yeah.
And if I look around at the people I know with PhDs, none of them are all mighty intimidating dragons. They're all just silly fish like me. So.
Yes. You know, I have a brother who has a PhD and he literally got the PhD because his wife is a medical doctor. And he also wanted to be a doctor.
Ugh.
He's slightly competitive.
Sounds like it.
And she has always pointed out that it was a lot easier to get a PhD in economics. There you go. What does he have it in? I think it's economics or urban studies. I forget what it is. It's you can get a PhD in almost anything. Can't you?
Yeah. I mean, like you can, there are so many interdisciplinary PhDs right now. You can pretty much study whatever you want if you want to go deep enough and you find the right professor who will take you on.
Okay. You just need do you need a professor to vouch for you and say, this is worth a doctorate? Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, pretty much. Like you need, like that's basically the main part of the acceptance process is finding a professor who's like, oh yeah, that sounds doable and like something that is worth having.
Okay. All right, because you have to write a paper and publish it, right? And
yep.
The paper isn't just a paper; it's like a book.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not a 1,200 word page that which I want on my desk. Everyone, about your favorite Pokemon. Okay, so is the Magikarp your second favorite?
It is. It would say it's my second favorite. Yes. I also there's a cute little baby elephant Pokemon called Fampi, and I have one on the back of my car.
Okay. As a sticker, Fampy, Fampy.
Yeah.
P
P-H-A-N-P-Y. P-H because it's elephant, right?
Oh, right, right, right. A lot of P-H's in the elephant world.
And then I love Snorlax, which is the lazy Pokemon, who's really just like a cheap knockoff of Totoro from Miyazaki, but I still love him.
So do you fight these Pokemon? If like, obviously the Magikarp doesn't have a lot of mad skills. Mm-hmm. The rubbish bag, Trubbish, is he pretty tough? Can you, are they pretty tough?
He does okay.
I don't
want to
misgender, because it could be either.
It could be either, yes. So they are poison type. So they're good at poisoning other Pokemon, but they're also pretty physically capable when it comes to just, you know, putting the smack down.
Right. Because when you put a team together to go fight other Pokemon, is it just one-on-one or is it a team of three? What are we looking at?
It's usually one-on-one. So tournament style, it's always two-on-two. In the game, it's usually one-on-one, occasionally two-on-two. In the past, there were like three-on-three battles or these other kind of weird formats, but generally one-on-one or two-on-two. But then you have the whole team behind them, so you can switch in and out depending on if they throw out an electric type, then I'll throw out a ground type, and then their electricity won't hurt it. So you got to do your rotating like that.
Okay. When you fight, do you usually fight with your faves or do you usually just hang out with your faves and buy plushies?
Every time there's a new game, I try to use only the new Pokemon.
Okay.
Because I feel like I got it. Yeah. And you got to get your money's worth, right? Like I've been loving Trubbish since the, you know, mid aughts or whatever. So I need, you know, to learn about all these new Pokemon and experience them. But so usually I have a team, but you have to have a balanced team because if your team is all fighting type and then you go to the flying gym, flying beats fighting and you just get wiped out real fast.
Oh, now why are you in the flying gym? Because that's where the battleground is sometimes or?
So every game is structured around you're trying to become the champion of the region. And there's other like plots and quests and things along the side. But the main quest is there's always 8 gyms. And when you get a badge for beating each of these gyms, then you can go to the Elite Four and you have to beat them all in rapid succession. And if you beat them, then you can beat the current champion and become the champion.
Okay.
So there's this whole journey that when it's kind of an excuse to get you to explore the region. So you go way over to the Arctic area and fight the leader of the ice gym. And you'll go deep into the jungle and fight the leader of the grass gym and things like that.
And when do you pick your fighters? Before you go into the gym or as you go into exploration mode?
So you always have up to 6 Pokemon on your person at any time based on what you've caught walking around. So each region will have different Pokemon in the area that you catch, and then you choose from among them what you're carrying with you.
Okay, so when the game first starts, it's not like you're handed a sword, like, you know, in like Zelda or something like that. It's all you have is a ball. And then you walk out into the world and catch a Pokemon.
So they do. So you always start with one.
Okay.
And it's with very few exceptions, you have a choice between a grass, a fire, and a water. And so these are called the starters. Everyone loves the starters. Everyone looks forward to what will the new starters be in the new generation.
Okay.
And the starters always evolve twice. So you get to see all these different versions of them.
And so what do you usually pick as your first?
I always lean to whichever one is the cutest.
Okay.
So like some people only choose fire, for example, but I always just choose cute. So like the current generation, there's a little hungry alligator is the fire one.
Okay.
And a sassy grass cat. And then a dancing duck with ridiculous hair is the water one.
Which one did you pick?
So I really loved the alligator. So I chose him.
Okay.
But over time I had to get them all because the duck evolves into this like flamenco dancing peacock fighter thing that is constantly referred to as a bisexual icon for his fashion sense.
Okay.
I had to get the bisexual icon, obviously.
Right, right. You had to give it a shot.
Yeah, but and of so the three, the basics, the alligator, the little red alligator, was the cutest.
Was the cutest. Objection. This is a subjective opinion. If you're pro duck out there or pro whatever the other one was, what was the other one?
Cat.
Grass cat. Mm-hmm. Okay. And all right. So we're like 10, 15 minutes to the end. Let's talk about the elephant in the room that I think I've done an entire episode about Pokemon Go.
Oh.
And what Andy worked on a video game where it was a murder mystery and it was using the technology of Pokemon Go. And you would walk into a room and there would be a body there. And then you had to look for the clues. You had to search the area and find the murder weapon and possibly footprints or fingerprints. And then you would go to another place and the game would pretend that you were at a warehouse and then you were confronting somebody. It was sort of like that. So I don't know. I don't think I ever played Pokemon Go, but I remember there was a lot of moral conundrum about people at intersections losing their minds because there were Pokemon.
Yeah. In the world. I remember like when it first came out, there were like worries like there were kids walking into people's yards and getting shot at, I think. And there were like, stories of like people wandering into neighborhoods where they really shouldn't be because there were Pokemon there and stuff. I feel like all that has kind of calmed down. There was also this whole thing.
Very much so.
Like when they made Pokemon Go, one of the things in it is Pokestops, which are these little markers where you can pick up supplies. And then there's Pokemon Gyms, which is like, you know, special locations like monuments and parks and things have a gym where you can go and battle other people's Pokemon.
Okay.
And they bought the lists for these from a previous company. And so it included things like monuments to aborted children or like the Holocaust Museum.
Oh,
and
no.
there's a poison gas Pokemon. So there was a fair chance of finding a poison gas Pokemon in the Holocaust Museum. And that had to be shut down real fast.
All right. We're trying to play a game here. Let's not go find all the Confederate statues and try to play racism Pokemon.
Yeah.
No, not it.
Exactly. So that has, I think that has been scaled back significantly. But there were definitely like weird things about that in the beginning of like, there was one that I loved, though. There was Westboro Baptist Church was made a Pokemon gym. And so there was this great image where someone had gone and they'd beat all the other Pokemon there with a pink fairy Pokemon named Love is Love. And so you'd open Aww. Up Pokemon Go at Westboro Baptist Church and there would just be a giant pink Pokemon saying Love is Love on top of the church.
Oh, that is awesome. I like that. I like the idea. I mean, the thing is that could be a much darker version of Pokemon Go, where you go to Waco, Texas, and all of a sudden you go to 9/11, you go to Oklahoma. There's trouble. Yeah, literally, that's all my brain can do right now. We're going to Wuhan. Okay, so... the woman I had, it was Andy Erickson, stand-up comic, Minnesota. Very funny. Everybody find that episode. Andy Erickson, Pokemon Go episode. But she, I think it was her honeymoon, went to Japan just to play Pokemon Go. And her husband, Alex, good sport, he has at some point there was revealed that she plays Pokemon Go so much that he can become irritated when they travel. And, but they went to Japan and it was a free for all. He was like 24 hours, do whatever you want. Fulfill your every Pokemon Go wish. It was quite a gift that he gave to her. And, so did you play Pokemon Go?
I played it in the like right when it first came out, there was that like magical summer where everyone was playing it and you just find roving gangs of Pokemon Go players moving down the streets. And I did actually, I was in Japan for a few weeks during that time. So I even got some of like the early like Japan exclusive Pokemon. It got between things going on with me and the game not really changing very much. I kind of lost interest. And then a little while later, it picked up again and they changed all this stuff. But I never went back into it because I have a tendency to get very quickly addicted to things, which is why I now have to, you know, make a business out of my magic cards, because otherwise it's unsustainable. Never went back into Pokemon Go because I had too many Pokemon addictions already.
Right. The Pokemon it did not need to be introduced one more time into the plot. That is sometimes a problem, though, with games, where if they don't add enough new content, you weed off. And then there's a game that I play on my phone called Criminal Justice. You know when you pick up your phone and it's blown up a little bit? But let me find this. Oh, there it is. Criminal Case. And for probably 6 years, I played Criminal Case, all of the iterations. It's a six-man or six-person game design crew in France. And they had all of the police groups. It's a crime solving thing, right? And I'm in a steampunk one right now, but I ignored it for like 2 years because I got into Marble Puzzle Quest, which I've been playing for 5 years. But the Criminal Case, it was at one point there was the team that was on the beach. And then there was a team when the thing is the plot goes and it goes. And then all of a sudden, the Illuminati are in charge. And you're like, what just happened to this weird game where they were just solving crimes? The steampunk one that I'm in now, a very good character from months and months ago. He was the DA. And he was interested in not prosecuting. He was a very open-minded, you know, he understood about, you know, institutionalized racism. He has now made himself a dictator. He is essentially
Hitler. Oh, boy.
And the police department has decided to take him down. And you're like, what's happening? And it is sad to me that Criminal Case does not sell merch that has the words Criminal Case on it. I may have to make my own. It could happen. TeePublic is out there. Sticker Mule, make a t-shirt. I've made some of my dad's art into shirts. Anyway, so what kind of, now we only have, I mean, I waited off again. I'm so sorry, Carl. But I will ask this. So you said that you have several, like it crosses all different kinds. Did you play the card game?
Because
it's like magic, isn't it?
So there was a moment, it was like some anniversary of Pokemon where they were like, it was at a time when I was doing a lot of Pokemon breeding and I was going to all these Pokemon websites for information about it. And there was this thing where it was like, oh, if you visit all these Pokemon websites at each one, you get a free digital pack of Pokemon cards. And so I started playing the game digitally and got a million packs and got really into it for like one summer. And then again, was like, oh no, this is turning into another addiction. I really need to do other things with my time, like my job. And so I stepped away and I haven't gone back. I am dating and living with someone who dabbles in the game a little bit. But I have not gone back.
It could happen at any minute.
Although, I mean, the cards are really cute. And it's like with magic cards too. Now there's cards that are like 30 years old that you can't get and they're worth $10,000 or whatever. But
I know I gave all of my original set of magic cards to my nephew. Who threw them? It's essentially, you know, original baseball cards gone. But so be it. That makes everybody who still has them even more valuable. Yep. So good for them. Well, Carl, we're pushing an hour. I don't know what would you like to tell people about Pokemon if they want to get into it? Like where should they start?
For people who don't want to play the games, like Pokemon Go is a really easy way to get in. But I just think there's so many cute Pokemon out there. And it's really easy to just like find your favorite one and get in that way. Just like, oh, I really like this adorable trash bag or this little fiery chicken. And use that as kind of your gateway of like, oh, this is a cute character. I wonder what games they're in. I wonder if they're in this show about the Pokemon Resort where everything's made of felt. Right. And that show, actually, Pokemon Concierge is really cute. And it's short only a couple of episodes. So that's an easy gateway if people want to get into it now.
Right. Okay. Well, for the love of God, we've learned so much about Pokemon. It's just, but it's a deep pool. It's a deep pool. We've just skimmed the top of it. For certain. There's, we'll leave them with a teaser. What's a Pokemon they should all look for?
Ooh. Pokemon they should all look for. I have to try to think of like the deep cut.
I didn't give you any warning.
So usually my deep cut is Trubbish because no one ever thinks of the garbage Pokemon and he doesn't have a lot of merch.
Right.
But I might say, oh boy, you really caught me now.
right. Are there science fiction ones?
Oh yeah.
Are there Doctor Who versions?
There's no like actual like branding crossover like that, except probably with like Hello Kitty. But where there's like Hello Kitties dressed as Pikachus and vice versa, I imagine out there somewhere.
I forgot to ask about Pikachu.
Oh yeah,
is he a Pokemon?
Of course, he's the most famous of all Pokemon. I think he is recognized by the Japanese government as a brand ambassador. I know Hello Kitty is. I think Pikachu is as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that hilarious that I forgot about Pikachu. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the specific Hawaiian version of Pikachu. So in Hawaii, in the Pokemon world, is called Alola. And in Hawaii, Pikachu evolves into Alolan Raichu, which is a psychic electric mouse that surfs on its own tail. So I will say there's a bit of a deeper cut for you that's pretty cute.
Yeah. How do you spell Raichu?
R-A-I-C-H-U. Mm-hmm.
That's almost how I
said. Pikachu has always evolved into Raichu if you give it a special rock called a Thunderstone, but only in Hawaii, only in Alola, he evolves into a psychic surfer version of that Pokemon.
Oh, wow. That's nuts. Yeah. Okay. Carl, thank you so much for doing the show. That was fascinating. Carl Gabrielson, Rangers. If you go to his Instagram, if you like Magic the Gathering, if you like Command Decks, go to EDH_PhD, Elder Dragon Highlander, EDH_PhD. Thank you so much for doing the show, Carl.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How is the show?
Well, it was with Carl Gabrielson, who you have yet to meet, and he has
yet to meet
you.
This man, and I've been wanting to meet this man for at least a year.
Right. But he was in Japan, and then he was in Santa Barbara, and now he's got a PhD in Asian. He told me he did the Dork Forest, Andy.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Dork Forest,
right? Because Carl Gabrielson, by the way, he has a new Instagram where he's got to monetize his Magic the Gathering issues.
Sure.
It's called EDH_PhD. That's his you get it? I didn't.
Kind of. EDH is a
the command.
I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's a format of Magic.
Right. It's the command deck thing, and he did tell me what it stood for, and I wrote it down.
Ooh.
Elder Dragon Highlander.
That's right.
Because there can only be one.
Yep.
And I told him that I had played Commander Deck, but I've only played it like twice. I wanted to be cool, Andy, because Carl,
you are cool. You are cool, Jackie. You're cool.
In the Dork Forest. I want to like the thing that people like that I like. Wow. All right. but he talked about Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And it was almost too big a topic.
Yes.
because there is, of course, the TV show, and then there is the games,
right?
And then there is the card game, and right. then there's the plushies,
right?
And so I got
Turns
into
the,
it.
The card game, I did not realize this until I was chatting with that other game designer earlier this week. And we were talking about trading card games. And I thought Magic was the big one. But no, it's Pokemon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In terms of sales?
Yeah.
It's much bigger.
It's the cash cow of the world. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Did you know that there is a new sort of animated but sort of felt characters on Netflix called Pokemon Concierge?
No.
It's where the fighting Pokemon go to relax.
Oh, nice. Like a spa.
Other hobbies.
A spa for the Pokemons.
Right. For the Pikachus of the world. They gotta lie down, get a massage.
Sure.
Maybe they take up accordion. It's hilarious to me.
Pedicures.
right. He was
Pokecures?
Oh, wait a minute. All right, we might be done.
No.
And he was talking about how there's there's drag Pokemon called, and they call it the Poke Master Ball, and people dress up.
Oh, sure.
And it's a ball.
It's a ball.
But the Master Ball is a real Pokemon thing.
Right.
And his favorite Pokemon, by the way, Deep Cut. It's called Trubbish. And it is a bag of rubbish.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bag of garbage. And it evolves, and it eventually has its fighting thing is a belch.
Oh, sure. And is it does Trubbish is the initial form of it, or does it have yes. different names as it goes up?
Just got two forms, I believe.
Two forms.
The first one was the rubbish bag, and then Big Time is like a dragon, but also rubbish.
Right, but I think they also get new names.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. It sounded like not
I can
so.
Look it up.
And Carl doesn't do tournaments, but he does always watch the international finale.
Oh,
he
okay.
always watches the finals, but he likes the kid finals because. All the adult finals are just dudes with the same three characters.
Yeah.
But the kid ones are their favorite characters.
Right.
And he said, so it's super sad when somebody loses, but they care more.
That's probably how you can determine whether they should be in the kids tournament or the adult tournament. Are they coming with these same three characters as all of the adults? Well, then they should be playing in the adult tournament.
Right. Then get thee to the adult table.
Exactly.
And but I will say that it's something, it goes up to 8, and then the master goes up to 14, and then everybody over 14 is considered
right.
an adult in the world of Pokemon fight.
I think that's right.
That seems fair.
I think that's right.
Anyway, it's
the
great
Pokemon
episode.
Years, the 15 to 25.
15, or 15 to 65.
15 to 65.
There you go. I just thought I would talk to you about it was a great episode with Carl Gabrielson. Yeah.
Sounds great. I can't wait to meet him.
There we go. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?